Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With all the speculation over Aaron over the offseason, are you and Kyle on speaking terms?
Yeah, Kyle's a great friend of mine. And so, like, I haven't talked to him in a while. It's just part of the business. You kind of get in your own routine, but yeah, absolutely. I hold no ill will towards him.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a quick no, which is exactly what I thought it would be. But you hear enough stuff, and I think everyone knew what was going on at that time that it didn't seem like it was worth the call, but I know how we would have felt if it was going to happen and that we didn't call. So you call and you get a quick answer, which is what you were expecting, and then you move on.
No, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I understand, like, he's trying to do whatever he thinks he needs to do for his football team. I mean, he's got a responsibility to everybody in that organization, and if there's an opportunity, so I don't hold that against him. So, but yeah, that will have no effect on our relationship.
I make this next comment fully acknowledging that I have asked plenty of dumb questions. I will ask more dumb questions. I ask questions so dumb that I'm aware of them as I'm asking them, and I'm cringing as I'm asking them, but I can't get off the horse at that point. I say all that because it was kind of a dumb question to Matt LaFleur, like, are you guys on speaking terms because Aaron Rodgers was potentially a guy that the 49ers wanted to trade for, and they called you about it. This is a sport comprised of adults. This is how business is done. The 49ers had a legitimate reason to think that maybe Aaron Rodgers was available, so they make the phone call. Why in the world would Matt LaFleur have any ill will toward Kyle Shanahan or anyone else who dared to make the phone call to see whether or not there was reason to have a conversation that could result in a trade of Aaron Rodgers? It's not like he went over and, you know, I could come up with all sorts of colorful things that Kyle Shanahan could have done on Matt LaFleur's front porch. It's not like he did something like that.
Right.
They just did what teams do. They make calls all the time.
Yes.
Phone calls get made. When a question like that is asked, it demonstrates to me the level of naivete when it comes to the fact that calls are made all the time. We'll see reports. Oh, they're getting phone calls about the first pick in the draft. Oh, they're getting phone calls about this guy. Yeah, they call each other all the time. Everyone wants to know what the universe of potential transactions is. And there's only one way to find out. Is your guy in play? Is he not in play? That's all it was. And Kyle Shanahan suspected it was going to be a short conversation. He was right.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's not personal. Like, this is like, you know, Sonny and Godfather, right? I mean, it's not personal.
You're not trying to steal someone's girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're not trying to steal a girlfriend here.
It's business.
This is a piece of property, an asset that a team has,
right,
and they trade them all the time.
Right.
Is this one of the ones you're willing to trade? It's that simple.
Yeah, and exactly. And I mean, it's not like, what do you think? Like Shanahan and John Lynch were like living under a rock all offseason? Everybody knew that like there was some like issues there in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So, yeah, of course you make that call. You can't fault that. And like, you know, both of them, they are great friends. I know that. You know, I mean, Matt's younger brother, Mike, he just left there to go with Salah of the New York Jets. I mean, I don't think there's a bond there that's going to ever be broken that way between, the, you know, Shanahan and the LaFleurs. I think there's great respect on what they do for each other there. And, yeah, Shanahan, you know, makes that call. It's Aaron freaking Rodgers. Of course you make that call. Let alone, like, you got to remember and maybe put yourself in Shanahan's shoes. Like, I think, you know, the Rams and Detroit kept that Stafford thing so quiet that nobody wanted to be burned by that either, because, like, I think a lot of people got caught by surprise. Like, what? He's available? Oh, my gosh. And, whoa, like, part of the deal's almost done with the Rams and that? And, you know, we heard the rumors of Shanahan and company being involved in those conversations, but I think it was a little too far down the road, so he didn't want to get burned that way again. And I don't fault him at all for making that call. It's the right thing to do.
And lost in this conversation, the mere fact that the 49ers don't make that call out of curiosity. This isn't like calling the dealership to see how much the new car in the front window costs. You're serious about making the purchase.
Right.
This isn't just, it's the day before the draft. And here's what it underscores for me. It underscores the degree of dysfunction that prevailed within the 49ers organization as to what the hell we're going to do with the third overall pick. Do we go Mac Jones? Do we go Trey Lance? Or do we just say screw it and try to get Aaron Rodgers? Hey, you know what? Maybe that's our answer. Maybe that's our path. Maybe that's what we should do. Let's call up the Packers and see if they'd be willing to do it. You don't make that call if you're not serious about trying to get the guy, which means they would have thrown overboard the Mac Jones, Trey Lance conversation completely if they could have gotten Aaron Rodgers for a price that they deemed reasonable, Chris.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, I believe at that point that Shanahan was probably set on Trey Lance if it was.
Then why make the call?
Because
the day before the draft.
I know, but so let's just talk it out. You know, I don't know, but like let's just talk it out. Like, I mean, again, do you take Trey Lance, who you like a lot, right? And, you know, maybe you know he's raw, but, yeah, I like his talent, and he could be our guy for the foreseeable future as the franchise guy. Or do you go back to, like, what we were talking about with Tua and the Dolphins and Watson and go, wait,
yep,
this guy is a Hall of Famer, and I know exactly what he is. And, yeah, we're not going to have him for 10 years, but I think I can have him for maybe 4 or 5 more years. And that's where you do. That's where you do it, or at least think about it. And that, to me, if I put myself in Shanahan's shoes, is that makes logic. At least I don't know. Does that to you as well?
No, it makes perfect sense. Here's the problem: by the time you get to the day before the draft, and you've already given up the 12th overall pick, next year's first round pick, the following year's first round pick, you have a different kind of ammunition you're offering to the Packers, and it's very possible, and I'm not saying this happened, I have no idea, and it's entirely possible that they immediately hung up, although I've heard some versions of the story where, you know, it wasn't quite slam the phone down. Maybe the Packers would have rather had 12 and two future ones than the third overall pick, because maybe the Packers, you know, if you're going to go on to Jordan Love, why do you need the third overall pick? What are you going to do with the third overall pick if Jordan Love is the guy you want to try out? You don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. You've got Jordan Love. Maybe you also don't want the third overall pick. Maybe you would have been better off with 12 and two future ones, because at 12 you can get a defensive player or somebody else, because if we turn the page on Aaron Rodgers, we're going with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
We don't need Trey Lance or Mac Jones or Justin Fields, and we don't want to have to screw around with trying to trade out of the 3 spot. You're dropping this thing in our laps the day before the draft like a hot potato.
Right.
What the hell are we going to do with the third overall pick? Because we're not going to take a quarterback.
We
haven't even done the work.
Right.
We haven't even done the work on which quarterback we'd want.
Yeah. It's a valid point. It is. I mean, maybe that's where, you know, you just Kyle Pitts becomes the third pick of the draft. Or maybe they trade down, you know, maybe they do. They get that third pick and then they, you know, but you're right. It's still the right day before the draft, and you don't have a lot of time to figure out these things. So that plays a factor in it as well.
One of the most important aspects of holding one of those high picks and trading down is doing the work on the guy so you can know how to value him and have an intelligent conversation with another team. I suspect the Packers, of everything else they had to do between January and April, they did not do full workups on Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. He said, why would you do it?
Yeah,
there's no reason to do it.
Right.
Let's do this very briefly. We talked about it last night on PFTPM. Miles Simmons and I addressed it. Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show had some pretty strong comments about the media. I thought he went too far. Maybe he did too, because he clarified what he was trying to say on Tuesday at his midweek press conference. Here he is.
Look, I do want to maybe rephrase or refocus what I said. I strongly believe in everybody's ability to have an opinion, and I respect the fact that they have an opinion and should have an opinion. My issue is a platform given to individuals who only desire to say inflammatory things that are not based in fact. Right? So personally, I think I would be a little sensitive to people questioning my commitment to this team. Said it from the start, if I wasn't 100% committed to the squad and my team, then I wouldn't have come back. Now, maybe people thought that was, you know, some sort of cliche line or obligatory statement, but it was the truth. But to use statements like that or things I did in the off season or my own mental status that I actually explained many times in this room or in this forum as the basis for statements around me not caring or not being invested with my team is not rooted in fact. It's not correct. And I do enjoy the opportunity to correct misinformation like that.
Now, see, there's an important difference, Chris, between fact and opinion and circumstantial fact and direct, obvious fact. The point I made last night, if someone was reporting, if someone had some hot take that Aaron Rodgers walked up to Brian Gutekunst and punched him in the stomach and it was demonstrably false, then you got a problem. You're in the realm of untrue and defamatory fact. But the opinions that were expressed in the aftermath of week one were based on fact. They were based on circumstantial fact. They were based on the fact that Aaron Rodgers was completely disengaged from the Green Bay Packers from the end of the 2020 season until training camp. No appearance at the offseason program. No workouts with his receivers. He was completely and totally disengaged. He said himself he didn't decide to come back until the weekend before training camp opened, and he was 50-50 going into that weekend. Now, maybe he's trying to build a little mystery. Maybe he's got some other agenda, but if we're going to take his words at face value, he went from 50-50 to 100 in just a few days. My point is this.
Yeah.
There's a difference between not liking the facts that someone are asserting and not liking the opinions they reach based upon facts that are indisputable, not in dispute. There are some undisputed facts here that lead to opinions. And he doesn't like those opinions. Well, that doesn't make them factually incorrect.
Right.
You may disagree with the opinion, but the opinion is rooted in fact. It's just rooted in fact he'd rather us not pay attention to.
Yeah, well, I hear you there. Like, first off, I want to say I respect – this is why I like Aaron Rodgers in a lot of ways, that he does address these things. He doesn't give you some, you know, bull crap answer. Now, where I think it's wrong just a little bit, and, like, you're right. Like, the optics of the situation certainly can lead to people having the opinions that we heard, 100%. Where I think it goes wrong and where he was wrong – was the fact of, like, what you just said, the 50-50 retire thing. You know, that's where it is. And I think maybe where he could have phrased it differently, but probably didn't want to, right, is because, like, listen, I don't think he was, like, not doing anything off season. He's always comes into camp in shape, ready to throw. He's never got, like, tendonitis in his elbow because he hasn't done anything or he's off target. He does all of those things. He kept in contact with a lot of his teammates on the team. Yeah, he didn't go to practice. I think where he could have said is gone, you know what, I was 50-50, not because I was not committed to the team and the players and the coaches, but there's two jerks here that I don't like, and I don't want to be a part of them. That's where he could have been different, I think, and then the optics would have changed. I think that's where it gets a little skewed, at least in at least from my view, and you know, yeah. I don't know if I'm right or not.
My point is this. The facts that played out, especially from the day of the draft when it all exploded, his strategy for dealing with it, for not dealing with it, for not talking about it, for saying what he said when he said it, everything from then until the start of training camp, and including the press conference he gave at the start of training camp, it justifies an opinion.
Sure.
That yes. Maybe he's not all in. That doesn't mean it's factually incorrect. He may disagree with it, but there's a difference between expressing an opinion that is rooted in some circumstantial fact and just popping off with some untrue fact and making it into a story. That's a very subtle thing, and he kind of glossed over that, but I think the bottom line is he just doesn't like being criticized. None of us like being criticized.
Sure.
But you ignore it and you move on and you understand that criticism goes with the territory, and that's what he would be very well advised to do. I would be well advised to move along with more of the show. Otherwise, we're going to run out of time. Thursday Night Football prop bets when we continue right after this.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers, you're still the greatest I've ever seen.
Simsisms. Chaffage.
Like, man, this is stupid. Man, this is causing chafage down there. Man, it makes it a little harder to move down there.
Now, chafage is not a word. Okay. It is on Urban Dictionary,
okay.
But it's not on any other dictionary. I've just checked. We wanted to get a quick ruling on whether or not it's a Simsism or an accidental scholar.
Okay.
Chafage, not a word.
Right.
Simsisms.
Oh, yes, chafage. I don't know that I would spell it with an I in the middle. I think I would go with an A if it were a word, but it's not. So you can spell it however you want.
Does that really classify as a Simsism, though? Because it is a real term or word that gets used, I guess, right? I mean,
by people who choose to use words that aren't words? Yes, you're right. It is a real word that is used by people who use words that aren't real words.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Makes sense.
And you know, the thing that drives me crazy, but I guess this is the way that our lexicon develops over the years, if there is a word that isn't a real word that gets used enough,
yeah.
Eventually it becomes a real word. It forces its way into the dictionary like irregardless.
Yes.
Has made its way into the dictionary.
Right. That one is,
which is just infuriating.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yes.
All right. Here's what's not infuriating. Some information on some prop bets for tonight to the extent that those props are available in jurisdictions where these activities are now no longer frowned upon. Sam Darnold passing yards for the Carolina Panthers. Over under 261.5. What do you got?
I'm going to go over here. You know, I don't know if it's going to be like a ton over, but I am. You know, I think there's two things that jump out to me. You know, it's a sound defense from the Houston Texans, but we saw Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield, you know, certainly make some plays against them. They don't have a great pass rush. You know, it's a lot of zone coverages, and I just think that bodes well for Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator who runs that Sean Payton system. And then, you know, with Sam Darnold, the weapons, I'm going to go over there.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go over as well. And I think that I just think that this is a great opportunity for Sam Darnold to have a coming out party with the Panthers.
Yeah.
And to exercise the demons of primetime games from the past, including the very notorious moment when he was seeing ghosts on a Monday night against the New England Patriots. This is a great chance for him to really reset his career, reintroduce himself to the national landscape. Because like the Texans, we're not going to see a lot of Panthers games in primetime this year unless and until they force their way into Sunday Night Football via the flex. Davis Mills, in his NFL debut as a starting quarterback, 216.5 yards over under passing. What do you got?
I'm going to go... this one's a tough one because 216 is not a lot this day and age in the NFL to where, I mean, you know, I'm going to go over, but not by much. You know, I'm going to pick over just because, you know, I think they got enough weapons there. I could also see maybe Carolina kind of up by 10, 14, maybe later in the game to where now he gets some cheap stats. I guess that's where I go over. And you know, I think it'll be like maybe 235, somewhere in that range. Yeah,
a tough one. I don't know.
Well, but it is the kind of a situation where the Panthers could build a lead and then it's just cut it loose.
Yes, right.
You know,
right.
The problem is, even when he goes to cut it loose, that's when it gets into pin the ears back territory. And
exactly.
It's open season on Davis Mills.
I know.
And before you know it, maybe we see Jeff Driskel on the field. Christian McCaffrey rushing yards over under 82.5.
Man, that's another tough one. I'm gonna go over here as well. I am, but not by a huge margin. I think McCaffrey really is gonna have a big night catching the ball out of the backfield. That's where I think he's gonna really cause problems for this football team. So that's where I'm a little torn in that department. I could see McCaffrey having 100 yards receiving. All right, no, I'm going to change and go under here. I am. I'm going to go under because I think they're going to pass the ball all over this Houston defense. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you give me 150 over under total yards for McCaffrey, I feel good about saying over. But to try to pigeonhole it one way or the other on rushing or passing, I don't know. I'm with you. I'll tend to go under, although I think he's going to account for a large chunk of the offense.
Right.
A lot of it's going to come from catching the ball. Total points over under is 43, with the Panthers at 26.5 and the Texans at 16.5. Let's just focus on the total over under of 43. What do you think?
I'll go over, but again, I'm not feeling like it's like a juggernaut there. You know, I just think the Panthers are too talented on offense. You know, and I think Houston's got enough of a scheme and players to where, yeah, I think that's a little too low, 43. Not to say I think it's going to be 55 or anything like that, but I could see like 47 total points. I could see 30-17 in this game for sure.
One thing I've noticed this year, and this may be more anecdotal than anything else, but it's just kind of a weird trend where it seems like a lot of games take a while to get going. From a point standpoint, like the first half, it's like 7-3.
Yeah,
late in the first half,
right?
And then all of a sudden, something like the Washington New York game last Thursday night
explodes,
and it just explodes.
Yeah,
fourth quarter it explodes. So I'll go over for that reason. I have a feeling we're going to have something like that where it's like 10-6 at the half, and then the next thing you know, it's 34-31.
I wouldn't be shocked.
All right. Let's take a break. We're going to do our weekly draft of the matchups to come in week 3. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this.
If there's one play that sums up the New York Jets, this one has to be it. This Patriots winning off the edge. This Jets lineman is probably holding. There's a Patriot charging up the middle at Zach with no blocking at all. This Jets dude is being pancaked on the ground. We have these two idiots staring at each other like, yo, what are we doing? I don't know, let's just stand here. We have 78 touching his own lineman. On top of that, we have two receivers with zero separation, and the cherry on top has to be Zach Wilson throwing this pick. And Corey Davis has no hops.
Is that the Philip Sims scouting service? That's pretty good.
Right? That was really good.
Pretty good.
It really was.
Yeah.
Well done. And, yeah, he made a lot of good points there for sure. You know, watching that game back.
By the way.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying, watching that game back, though, you know, again, I know Zach Wilson didn't play great. We know that. But I think there's still a lot of positives there for the Jets. You know, I mean, he was making mistakes, and it was still 10-3, 13-3. You know, there's a lot of things to like about what they're doing, and Zach Wilson still looks the part. He just is a rookie and made some dumb rookie mistakes. He'll learn from it, and they'll be better.
And he was going against Bill Belichick.
Exactly.
Which has something to do with
yes.
it. Point I was going to make, NFL says that the plan is for the All-22 film to return to the Game Pass feature tomorrow. Friday. So many people are asking me about it because I made the mistake of reporting on its absence and trying to find out when it's going to come back. And they said it's going to be back late week one, early week two. Hasn't been back. Here we are closing in on week 3. Friday is the plan, and hopefully it happens because I got enough emails to deal with.
Well,
instead of more emails saying, where's all 22?
Well, yeah, are they going to refund me for the $100 I'm paying? Because that's why I'm paying for it. I mean, that's kind of annoying.
Wait a minute.
Isn't it that?
Are you didn't get the code?
No, I don't
you
have
didn't
the
get
code.
A code.
I don't. I've
you know what? You
I've
know
been
what?
Paying
if
for
you
it.
Opened your email,
right.
If you opened your email, you would have seen
that you get a coat.
Well, it's one of those things that I had like a long time ago, and I think it just re-ups through my wife email, and she says yes. But yeah, I like to use that service, and I just think that's screwed up. I really do. I don't know what else to say.
Another reason to check your email more than once a month, because there is a code in there that you could be using. All right, today's matchup draft for week 3. Any matchups, wherever you want to go. Chris, you got the first pick.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to our Sunday night football game. You know, and where I really want to go, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things there. But to me, this is a game where if the Packers want to win the football game, they're not going to run the ball great on the 49ers. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get a lot of throws down the middle of the field. You know, you're not going to be able to, like, play action, get people over the middle. 49ers cloud it. It's going to have to be about Rodgers and his weapons versus the corners of the 49ers. If you want to beat the 49ers right now, that's an issue with their football team, and you can throw the ball outside the numbers on them. Are they willing to do that? So many coaches and teams aren't always willing to do that. Oh, wait, you know, I'd rather have a cool play in the middle of the field. Well, how come sometimes you just got a guy that throws a 100-mile-per-hour fastball and you just beat that guy because he's better? And that's one thing that I'll just be interested to see if they do it. They did it a little last year, but we know the 49ers weren't at full strength, and see if Rodgers and company can maybe take advantage of that.
I agree with you, and that's one of the great games of the week, and we learned a lot from the Packers based upon that one. I'm going to go to a sneaky good game on Sunday, Patriots and Saints getting together in Foxborough.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick versus Jameis Winston. And Belichick has faced Winston one other time. Winston was 26 for 46 with 334 yards and a touchdown in a 19-14 Patriots win over the Bucs in Tampa in October of 2017. So it's not like Belichick had him all twisted up. It was year 3 for Jameis Winston, but now we have him in this new offense and Sean Payton trying to find that sweet spot between what we saw in week 1, what we saw in week 2, push him more toward week 1. Just going to be very curious to see what kind of roadblocks, what kind of hurdles, what kind of challenges Belichick throws at Winston to try to make him look like the guy that he looked like in week 2. And the formula was simple. Shut down the run. Get him off his mark. Can Belichick do that? Can he confuse Winston and get him to make the mistakes? That's going to be, I think, one of the more intriguing matchups of the week.
Oh, I agreed. I can't wait to see that football game unfold. You kind of laid it out there. And, yeah. You know, the Saints have wanted to run the football first, and they haven't let, like, Jameis Winston just go. You know, even the first game, and he threw the 5 touchdowns, but it was only, like, 140 yards he threw for, right? So, yeah, there's a lot to watch for in certain matchups in that football game, and agree with you there. I'm interested to see how that plays out, too. I think my next one, I'm going to go Aaron Donald versus the Bucs O-line. You know, it's hard to pick up one matchup because Aaron Donald moves everywhere, right? But really my broader point is we haven't seen anybody even get close to Tom Brady yet this year. Nobody's gotten close. And how can the Rams do that? Can Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd get there, win their matchups? Or does Raheem Morris have to, like, compromise himself and blitz and do creative stuff like that? Now, he's going to understand the offense coming from Atlanta. And last year when he took over, I mean, that Atlanta defense did a pretty good job, especially in the first matchup against the Bucs. But that's something I look at because, man, you're not going to beat the Bucs if you can't get around Brady. You're not. He's going to dice you up, and, you know, they'll be able to run the ball, and it just they pick their poison and how they want to just kick your butt.
Next one for me, and I agree with you, and whether to what extent Tom Brady can avoid Aaron Donald, the pressure up the middle, that's been the formula, that's been the blueprint for years. Brady can deal with the pressure around the edges. He skips, he hops, he slides. When it's coming right at him from the interior defensive line, that's when he can get rattled. He starts looking down at the rush, loses sight of the receivers, and there's only so much he can do at that point. The duck and cover may not even save him from Aaron Donald. I'm going to go Tyler Lockett, the Seahawks receiver, against the Vikings' suspect cornerbacks, because Lockett has been awesome this year, getting deep touchdown passes in each of the first two games, and the Vikings have been giving them up, whether it's letting Rondale Moore run free uncovered,
right,
whether it's Jamar Chase sprinting by Bashaud Breeland. The Vikings' corners, last year the excuse was they're too young. This year the excuse may be they're too old. They're not getting it done, and Tyler Lockett is getting it done. That's having me, as we get ready to do the Mega Picks podcast later this morning, that's scaring me on this possibility of the Vikings getting to 1-2 with a win at home, they're going to have to deal with Tyler Lockett, and I'm not sure they can, Chris.
Yeah, no, I think it's a valid point. And, I mean, the Seahawks, you know, what we've seen so far, they got a few plays every game to just, you know, bombs away and go after it that way. So that will be. You know, if you can take that away, which is a big if, the Seahawks have a hard time kind of putting drives together. I mean, you're not going to see a ton of that. And if Zimmer can have the right game plan there, maybe he can make life hard on Russell Wilson and company.
Let's take a break. I see you getting ready to go with your third pick. Let's press pause.
Cool.
We'll finish up the Week 3 matchup draft when we wrap up this Thursday edition of PFT Live right after this. All right, there we are so far, the Week 3 matchup draft. Round 3 is upon us, Chris. End the suspense, please.
All right, I'm going to go like Josh Allen versus the Washington front four, right? They've been disappointing so far this year, the front four from Washington. You know, last week against the Giants, got off to a good start, but, man, as the game went on, they fizzled out. Like, if I had to self-scout thyself, the one thing that we dropped the ball on or I dropped the ball on with Washington is they don't have enough depth on the D-line. They have to ask these guys to play too many snaps, and they're non-existent in week one against the Chargers, you know, at the end of the game, and the same thing last week against the Giants. And now you got Josh Allen, who they can protect pretty good, and he runs around. Like, show me something here in Washington front. We'll see. But that's certainly something I'm going to be watching for on Sunday.
I'm going to sweep more broadly because this is something we're all watching for as it relates to the interactions between players on the field. So players versus players, the taunting rule. Mm. Will they adjust? Will they adapt? You know, I still don't know why so many people want to see, as you said so artfully yesterday, a guy waving his junk in someone's face. Not that, fortunately, that happens on a regular basis, but adjust your behavior.
Yeah.
Don't get in people's faces. Celebrate, just don't celebrate at the expense of an opponent. Treat each other with respect. Show good sportsmanship. This isn't some hot take. Every coach that's talked about it supports it. It's not that hard to do. It's up to the coaches to coach the players how to avoid those situations. We'll see if they're able to do it this week, Chris, because if they can't, it will continue to be a major topic of conversation.
Yeah, I hope they can. Again, I mean, we've just stated the reasons, and no old school football guy or most guys involved in the league, I don't think really want to see it. So, you know, again, I know there's a few out there that think it's okay. I think it's not good for the game.
Yep, I agree with you completely, and it's still a situation where celebration is allowed. The No Fun League is not dead. This is just a very specific instance of interaction that they're trying to take out of the game. And it astounds me that people just either refuse or fail to understand it.
Yeah, no, it does me too. I'm shocked by it as well. Hey, you know what I dropped the ball on the other day? You know my Aunt Wendy? She turned 70, okay? And she loves you. So say happy birthday. She's messed up, obviously.
Happy birthday,
she likes
Aunt
you,
Wendy.
Right?
And Chris is the one who said how old you are, not me. Happy birthday.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.